is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump said to be wanting nearly $250 million from his own Justice Department. Here's ABC's Rachel Scott.
Sources tell ABC News that President Trump is pushing for a personal $230 million payout from the Justice Department as compensation for the federal investigations he's faced.
Well, I guess they probably owe me a lot of money for that. Yes, it's true.
That money would ultimately come from American taxpayers. The president, now in charge of the department that investigated him, allegations of Russian meddling in the 2016 election and mishandling of classified documents in 2022.
The president's pick to head up the Office of Special Counsel Paul Ingrassia has withdrawn his name after many of his text messages were found to be offensive. Long lines outside the Louvre this morning as the famous museum opened its doors to the public for the first time since the robbery of many of France's crown jewels. The wing they were housed in does remain closed. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices in Wisconsin continue to trend downwards. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices fell 6.7 cents over the last week for an average across the state of 261. This is over 28 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and more than 32 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Notably, the national average has fallen below $3 per gallon for the first time since 2020. Officials at Gas Buddy say COVID was the primary driver of low prices at that time. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at GasBuddy, said OPEC Plus deserves much of the credit for the current trend of lower prices. They've steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. Barring any major disruptions, gas prices are likely to stay under $3 for much of the next few months.
It's National Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention Week. Lead can have adverse effects on childhood development. Here's more with Lisa Hale of Civic Media.
This week is National Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention Week, dedicated to educating people about the dangers of lead poisoning, especially in small, developing children.
Lead poisoning does affect children more than adults, particularly children under 6 years of age, because their brain is developing very quickly and it can affect their brain and nervous system.
That's Winnebago County Public Health Nurse Jane Tebon.
So lead poisoning is considered an invisible disease. You don't know your child has lead. But what it can do is, again, it can hurt their brain and nervous system. And they may not show any symptoms at all, but it affects them maybe years down the road when they're in school and they have trouble focusing, learning. And that's when maybe you see some signs of the history of lead poisoning.
Children should be tested for lead exposure at 12 months and 24 months. And anyone with a home built before 1978 should have a lead risk assessment done by their local county public health office. For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers prepare for Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, it's the Packers and the Steelers this week on Sunday Night Football. But head coach Matt LaFleur reminding us they're playing the Steelers, not Aaron Rodgers.
We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who happen to have Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it's as simple as that. That is for you guys to talk about. We've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here is a Hall of Famer. This game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday Night Football. Our guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
NBA, it's the Bucks against the Wizards tonight in Milwaukee, and the debut of Miles Turner and what role he'll play on the Bucks this season.
As a center, you know, as a anchor in the back part of the defense, it's like, what you're supposed to do? The feedback has been phenomenal. It's like, you know, you're right, I don't even realize when I'm doing it. They're saying, yo, we need more of that. You know, it's not something we've had, you know, consistently in the past. Like, we need a voice. We need someone to always, like, step up and speak. So I'm just taking it on.
That's the Bucks' Miles Turner with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, breezy, and cold today with highs only in the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, a chilly night with lows right around 30, a better day on Thursday with plenty of sunshine, highs in the lower 50s. Currently, it's 44.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Governor Evers has sounded the alarm. 700,000 Wisconsinites might lose emergency food assistance. We discuss with Amanda Martinez and William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north at 7:06 on a Wednesday morning, October 22nd. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison A2. Ellie Bordeaux, Up North News newsletter editor, joining us in just a sec. And then we'll also be talking this hour to the president of the Viroqua School Board about the school funding system in the state. It stinks. That includes this new state budget, where the best Republicans would agree to with Governor Tony Evers was some additional school funds in some parts of the budget, but a basically a 0% increase in general state aid, and inflation's not 0%. So that's making it harder for school districts to avoid another round of referendums. And so we'll talk about the system. We've got Civic Media sports editor Jimmy Cuska coming up. And then looking ahead at 8:35, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will join us. Normally she's here Mondays and Fridays, but is going to join us because yesterday there was a virtual press conference with a bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers working on legislation that would increase access to resources and education about menopause. And they were joined by actress Halle Berry, who has been a menopause activist, trying to get people to learn more about symptoms, treating them, research, things like that. And so we'll play back some of her remarks and talk to Dr. Lyerly about that from the standpoint of an OBGYN. That, again, coming up at 8:35. Temperatures around the state right now range from 37 degrees in Manitowish Waters and Solon Springs to 48 degrees in Shawano. Pretty much all of Wisconsin is at some point in the mid-40s right now. It's 41 here in Chippewa Falls. And again, things will be getting a bit more seasonable for temperatures after today's last shot of a little bit of rain before things move out of the area and we get some pleasant weather for the rest of the week. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy with showers and 43. We got about a tenth of an inch of rain overnight. He says it felt like November with a high of 43 and a wind chill of 38 for much of the day yesterday. Says he has a meeting in Shawano today and some errands to run. It may be one of the first times that Rob has not talked about mowing, although I don't doubt that he, like us here, still has some mowing jobs, mostly to grind up the leaves and mulch them up and get them out of the way. But again, you know, we've got temperatures in the mid-40s by and large around Wisconsin. So stay inside, pour yourself a cup of coffee, and read up on that Up North News daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Ellie Bordeaux puts it together for us and joins us now on Wednesday mornings. Ellie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
That's good. It's nice to see you. It's nice to have you here today talking about the things that you put in. And let's start with something local that you ask people to submit ideas or photos about, and that would be pizza places in their area. And I get the feeling a lot of people, if they've got a place they really like, there's like a sense of pride. They want to tell you about it. How was the response?
Yes, absolutely. I love getting responses. I love our Locals Love section because it allows us to highlight some small businesses around the state, those kinds of things. But I do think that is very true. People have a lot of pride in their pizza places around the state. I got so many emails and so many responses of people saying, this is the best pizza place in the state. This is so great. You need to check this out. So many recommendations. We've got some from Fond du Lac, Janesville, Eau Claire. So we, every Friday, have a different locals love section. And last week was pizza. This upcoming week, we're doing burgers. So be sure to send those in. I want to hear about your best burger places. I want to know where to check out around the state. So it's really great.
I'm guessing, as I was looking at some of the reviews, like Paul here says about Wisco's in Eau Claire, it's what I like to call the most Wisconsin place I've ever been to. There is also axe throwing, which is also very fun. Their Midwest deep dish pizza is the absolute best. I am not aware of any place, Paul, other than that place that combines pizzas and axe throwing. I'm still not really sure how we've allowed axe throwing in public places like restaurants, but was that one of the more unusual ones that you saw of everything that was put in?
Yeah, I would say that one was a little bit more unusual. I have also never heard of the combination of axe throwing and pizza in the same place, but hey, to each their own. And if it works, it works. So yeah. I like it.
There was Harry's Prohibition Bistro in Sheboygan that said the moment you walk in and smell the wood-fired pizza oven and the 1920s decor brings you back in time. My favorite is the walnut pizza with Italian sausage. The burst of cream cheese with each bite adds an extra great flavor. From Merrill. Merrill is the person who submitted this. That's new on so many levels. The walnut, the cream cheese. I'm sure you heard some other interesting flavor combinations in pizza.
Yeah, we've got another one from Elkhart Lake about a beef marsala pizza. That's something that's I have never heard of before, but hey, sounds great. That sounds like something I need to check out. So I'm interested.
So not only can we talk about the local pizza places, but the different pizza combinations. And before we get going with folks here, when we talk about pizza combinations, you don't have to send in the Hawaiian one, the right. Ham and the pineapple. That's right up there with candy corn. It's going right into the garbage can.
No,
just Parker, come on, man.
You're killing me.
I can't say I agree with that either.
So y'all can have whatever weird takes you want, but I want to hear them. We've already heard that one. We've heard that one to death. But now we're hearing these new ones. A beef marsala. I've heard of chicken marsala, but beef marsala pizza. And then you've got the walnut pizza with Italian sausage and a little bit of cream cheese. So what else we got out there? I definitely invite comments coming out. Oh no, not Tony too. Tony, pineapple was made for pizza.
Oh no.
Oh, Tony. God, we're going to miss you and all your comments you used to send to us. Anyway, so we, now that I've opened up that can of sardines or whatever else you like on your pizza, people have really taken to it. What are you looking for next?
So we're looking for burgers next. So this Friday, we're going to be featuring your favorite burger spots. I want to hear them. Send them in. Send us some unique burgers that you have seen around the state. What are some weird flavor combinations that maybe you wouldn't think about? Kind of like a beef marsala pizza. What would be the equivalent of that to a burger?
I will say that in the Madison area, one of the things I miss is at the Great Dane. And the Great Dane has a burger patty and a brat patty. And then, like I think it's fried onions and something else. And it's on a pretzel bun. And I might have to leave and drive down to Madison for lunch. That's just, I miss it so much. Yeah. Got a couple of great places up in Eau Claire. There's the Amber Inn. Again, just this little tiny corner bar, but just amazing burgers off their little griddle there behind the bar. Corton House makes great burgers too. So yeah, we definitely want everybody else's favorites. Ellie, you got a favorite in the Oconomowoc area?
I'm trying to think. I would say, honestly, my favorite is probably, I would say the most unique is Crafty Cow in Oconomowoc. They've got like a peanut butter burger, which is interesting. But I know it sounds weird, but it works. So they have a location, I believe, in Milwaukee as well. But yeah, I would say Crafty Cow is like our biggest spot in Oconomowoc for burgers. But I do think too, it's like kind of the smaller underground places that also sometimes have the best, you know, like you don't expect it, but for some reason it's the best.
You remind me that also in downtown Eau Claire, the Livery has a unique burger. I haven't had it for a bit, but I know that there's like some pepper jelly that's on it. And I forget what kind of cheese is on there. Parker, anything from a Whitewater standpoint?
There is a place in Whitewater that has a peanut butter burger. I can't remember what it is. I think it's at Fat Jack's. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Fat Jack's. There you go.
Okay. So there you go. We want your burger places. We want to know exactly what it is that makes them so good, the weird flavor combinations. We'll definitely take it all. Here's one from the livery. It's gorgonzola cheese and a bacon onion balsamic jam. A bacon onion balsamic jam with arugula on a brioche bun.
Ooh, now, that sounds good.
It is. I'd rather have the pretzel, but I am not. Brioche to me is like too sweet for a hamburger bun. Mm. I want that as like, you know, French toast. That brioche is the best for that.
That's
really
fair.
Really went into food talk here today, didn't we? Okay, well,
yeah, I guess so.
Talked about pizza. We've talked about burgers. Let's talk about fish, but we're not eating these ones because they're made of paper. So.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So in July, people from around the world participated with the Sierra Club of the Wisconsin chapter, and they set the world record for the largest display of origami fish ever created with 86,262 origami fish. And so the display was set up in the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee, with each one with a message to shut down Line 5. And so now that display is moving to the state capitol, moving to Madison. So they're looking for volunteers to help with setup. They're looking for help with preparing for the display. They're looking for people to come attend the press conference. That'll be later. So all that information is in the newsletter as well. It's just a big message for state lawmakers of a call to shut down Line 5. So that's why they've done that.
We had that in our on the radio show and in the newsletter back in May, as by setting this world record for collecting origami fish, they could call attention to Enbridge's Line 5, how they want to reroute it around the Bad River Reservation. But the tribal community is like, well, yeah, you can go around it, but you're still putting a pipeline through the Bad River, you know, watershed. And so the court fights go on all of that. And so this was their way of calling attention. They had a website, fishforfuture.org. Again, fishforfuture.org, where you can read more about the collection and everything they want to do now to display it. So a nice little follow-up on there. And then finally, Ellie, you've got a new feature called Civic Check-In. As we described it in the last hour, there's a lot of big words out there: authoritarianism, fascism, oligarchy, things like that. And they sound like, you know, unattainable, but it really is important in this day and age to brush up on these terms, because they demonstrate, you know, that there's some real threats to democracy and freedom in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we wanted to include this section, is a lot of these words are being thrown around a lot more recently. And some of these words, I would say people maybe haven't heard since high school, like since their high school civics class, you know? And so I think it's important for all of us to brush up on our knowledge of different political words and understanding what it means for you in your daily life. Are these patterns that you're seeing now, like being able to come to recognize those in your own way and that kind of thing. So today we focused on an oligarchy and talking about the different types of oligarchies, what that means, the patterns to recognize. So every week we take a different type of term and kind of define it, go in depth with it, and then ask for your thoughts on what do you see in our day and age now.
And I think that's a great thing to do, because, again, words can get thrown about without having them be technically correct. For me, the most glaring example are all the folks on the political right who love to scream socialism, that this is socialist, clearly demonstrating that they're not completely grasping what socialism actually means, but they love to throw out that big word. Well, if people are going to be saying that things are perhaps similar to an oligarchy or fascist, it might be important to, again, brush up on what it means to see that in that context, those words are being correctly used right now, unlike socialism over the past, you know, decade or two. So to read more about that and everything else that Ellie Bordeaux puts together, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click subscribe up in the top banner. Ellie, thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. Appreciate it very much. Let's take a look at sports now at 7:19, where, again, we've got just one little note I wanted to pass along. The Packers taking on Aaron Rodgers at Pittsburgh Sunday at 7:20. Pregame starting at 5 on several Civic Media stations. A homeroom segment is coming up in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-329-4115. That's 800-329-4115. Call 800-329-4115 right now before the offer ends.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Talk a little more sports here at 7:22, just about 7:23 on this Wednesday morning. Let's work our way backwards from Sunday, where the Packers will be taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a Sunday night game, 7:20 kickoff, and so coverage will begin at 5 p.m. Sunday on several Civic Media stations. This is the part where producer Parker Olson makes his bold prediction on how the Packers are going to do against Aaron Rodgers. First time they've actually played him. Aaron Rodgers, if he defeats the Packers, it will be the 25th NFL team he's defeated, which would tie him with like everybody else for most number of times a quarterback has defeated all the other teams in the NFL. How's he going to do?
I don't know. He's looked really good, which like really worries me. I think he might kind of tear up the secondary that we have.
But he's also 71 years old. So it's very possible that he could fall and break a hip.
Micah Parsons could. Yeah.
Did
you think? Oh, yeah.
We get Micah Parsons from the Cowboys and he goes after Aaron Rodgers. Oh, boy. You could not have predicted this a couple of years ago, could you? That this is the matchup that we're talking about. Yeah. But that is potentially what's in the works for Sunday. For Saturday, you've got the Badgers at Oregon. That, again, is a late game. Coverage will begin at 4 p.m. Saturday on several Civic Media stations. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Badger men's basketball team. It's an exhibition game, but their season's underway. You can catch some games on the Civic Media Radio Network on Friday. They are at Milwaukee's Fiserv Forum to take on Oklahoma. That's Friday at 7 p.m. as part of the, I wish we had the right echo sound effect here, the Bad Boy Mower Series. There, that was perfect. It was like so technical. Yeah. We're taking on Oklahoma, Badgers, Oklahoma men's basketball Friday at 7. And then there's an exhibition game next Wednesday at the Kohl Center versus Platteville. And then the season opener the following Monday, November 3rd at the Kohl Center versus Campbell University, the Campbell Fighting Camels, getting the Badger men's basketball team going. So again, Friday night's game against Oklahoma, 7 p.m. Pre-game starts at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Wisconsin Rapids and Amory and Richland Center. Can you believe we're talking basketball and hockey already?
Yeah. You know, it's weird to me that they're playing Oklahoma first before they play Platteville. That seems a punch in the mouth to start and then cupcake after.
Trial by fire. Tony puts on YouTube, Steelers defense isn't very good. Joe Flacco lit them up and he's 80 years old. Well, there you go.
So good there point.
There is that possibility there. All right. Some of the other stories that we wanted to cover here for you include this whole notion of Donald Trump, the president of the United States, and his unique solutions to problems. And not necessarily our problems, but he had a problem with the trade deficit and found his own unique way to start a trade war with China, which is ending up hurting farmers in Wisconsin and across the country whose soybean markets to China have dried up as China has decided to buy its soybeans from Brazil and Argentina. And now we get word from President Trump that to help out his buddy in Argentina, he's looking to purchasing more beef from Argentina. Not sitting real well with the aforementioned Wisconsin farmers and ranchers in other states who are looking at this guy, many of whom they voted for, and saying, you're killing us here, man. Well, at least one Wisconsin dairy farmer has gone public with an alternative to that, and Larry Lee wrote about it over at Brownfield Ag News, saying that Mike Yeager, a dairy farmer from Mineral Point, has an alternative to Trump's sweetheart deal with Argentina. And he says, I think maybe we need to encourage the sales of dairy cows strictly going to slaughter. That'll put more beef on the market and ultimately take care of the surplus of milk. So you might be taking care of two birds with one stone. Trump says by putting more Argentine beef on the market, it would help bring consumer prices down. But again, we've got this surplus of milk here. We've got a surplus of dairy cows. And so perhaps culling the herd might be a better alternative that benefits Wisconsin farmers and the Wisconsin marketplace. Because from a national standpoint, you've got the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and the Ranchers Cattlemen Action Legal Fund and United Stock Growers of America and other farming groups. All of them have been some of Trump's biggest supporters, and they are all sharply critical of Trump's idea because of what it could do to ranchers and to feedlot operators. Plus, it runs counter to the stated purpose of Trump's tariffs, which is to encourage more domestic production and help American ranchers compete. But American ranchers and cattle farmers can't compete if they're being undercut by Argentine beef. Now, at the moment, Argentine beef accounts for a very small slice of beef imports, about 2%. And a lot of that is just for ground beef, so it may not do much for steak prices and things like that. But it has the potential. Every bit that comes in is a supply from U.S. farmers that isn't getting used. Now, beef prices have been soaring, thanks in part to the smallest U.S. herd size for beef cattle since 1961. Due to years of low cattle prices and now drought and Trump slapping a 50% tariff on beef from Brazil. And oh, by the way, did I mention there's also Trump's ag secretary saying that, there's an infestation of New World screwworm from Mexico and that there may be problems with hoof and mouth disease in Argentina that might affect Argentine beef imports. There's no shortage of reasons why you wouldn't do whatever you could from an American rural farmer and rancher perspective to help them and at the same time put more beef on the marketplace that could help drive prices down for consumers. There's only one real wrong way to go about doing this, and it's the one that the president of the United States is seeking right now to undercut American farmers, first the soybean farmers, now the cattle farmers and ranchers as well. Our homeroom segment coming up about the crazy state school funding system is coming up right after this break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Tom Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
You want to talk giant pumpkins in Wisconsin? There is an entire group of growers dedicated to capturing the title. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. More stories about how giant pumpkins are grown in the state. That's on the way next.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
This year, Jim Ford, a giant pumpkin grower from Fond du Lac, actually ended up topping the competition with his pumpkin that weighed in at 2,491 pounds. He's not alone when it comes to trying to grow those giant pumpkins. Thomas Motzma is from Brandon nearby, and he's been growing competitive giant pumpkins for over a decade. And he said, while you may be impressed with the size, it takes a lot of time and effort to get them that big.
And then they'll go out in the garden late April to early May, all depending on, you know, what kind of spring we have. A lot of growers now will put them in mini, mini tents or mini greenhouses, 5x10. 10 by 20. And then before we set that, we'll have hitting cables usually dug in the ground. And then they get transplanted outdoors, like I said, late April, early May. And then they get the TLC from the greenhouse until they get big enough where the greenhouse will have to be taken off.
Thomas Motzma from the Brandon area explaining a little bit more about the dedication that has to go in to producing the giant pumpkins you're hearing about at this time of the year. He said, in Wisconsin, the giant pumpkin growers are always working towards a pumpkin that weighs 3,000 pounds, or maybe better.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
Maybe you've got one of those giant pumpkins we were talking about. We'd love to see a picture. You can send it to us through our brand new Midwest Farm Report app. Download it. Available for both Apple and Android. Midwest Farm Report. And start using and interacting with us today. That's a look at food news. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX. La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Cloudy, breezy, and cold today with highs only in the mid to upper 40s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, a chilly night with lows right around 30, a better day on Thursday with plenty of sunshine, highs in the lower 50s. Currently, it's 44.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid this studio. We'll be dealing with home.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Robert Kennedy Jr. says America is under-babied. What can we do to encourage more Americans to become parents? Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Nice to have you back at 7:35 on this Wednesday morning. Now, there are local news updates throughout the course of our show here, 6 to 9 weekdays on the Civic Media Radio Network. But even as those local updates are happening on most stations, we continue yammering over here from Chippewa Falls and Madison. And if you'd ever like to listen into the show that way or watch what we're doing, there's always the Civic Media app where you can tune into one of the other stations that continues to play the network feed. You can certainly watch what we do on YouTube or Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, or the Civic Media YouTube and Facebook pages. Or you can sign up for us as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple and follow the program that way. And you'll never miss a minute of what it is that we are talking about over here on weekday mornings, like at 7:35, 7:36 now, on Wednesday mornings for our homeroom segment when we talk about public education in Wisconsin and, you know, its many positive qualities and the many threats that are out there from privatization, from people playing politics with their schools, people playing politics with school funding in our state. We have a state funding system that is much more convoluted than it needs to be. And each session of the legislature, every 2 years when they write a new state budget, they try to work around the system as best they can. And in this last state budget, legislative Republicans and Democratic Governor Tony Evers finally reached a deal, but it is a deal that is not exactly sitting well with a large number of school districts that are not seeing much of an increase in general state aids. They're seeing some increased dollars in other parts of the budget, like special education. But on the whole, they're still having a tough time keeping up with inflation, conceivably leading to another record round of school referendums across the state. So joining us to talk more about it is the president of the school board in Viroqua, Angie Lawrence, who was also part of a news conference last week with some state lawmakers to describe the problems in the system and how school districts have to live with the reality of them in the here and now. And Angie Lawrence joins us now from Viroqua. Angie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm great. How are you?
It's nice to have you. Very well. Thank you very much. So we saw you in this news conference last week talking about the system here, which, again, if you take the party labels out of it and you just look at the system itself, this is not something that you or probably any other school board president would draw up on a napkin someplace and put into effect. And yet you have to learn it and deal with, you know, the realities of the here and now. So let folks know what you were saying last week about general state aid in this new state budget and what it means for school districts like yours.
So number one, we don't even get the budget until October. So that's one of the problems. I mean, school starts, our annual budget starts in July. So I don't know how many businesses run their business by not having a budget until, you know, 5-6 months after their annual year begins. So that's one issue. So when this came out, this recent budget came out and their decisions, it affected a lot of school districts, millions and millions of dollars that they thought that they were going to receive and then they didn't receive. That wasn't the case in our district. We received a little over $8,000 less than what we had anticipated, but it didn't affect us as it did many other schools. What has affected us is the voucher program. So the voucher program, and I can give you an example, the Academy of Excellence in Milwaukee, for example, they are going to receive over $50 million this year from our local taxpayers. Their last year, only 18% of their students were, they either met, they only met expectations, 18%. Zero exceeded expectations in language arts. And then in math, only 13% of their students met expectations, with 0% exceeding expectations. I don't know about anybody out there, but if your school district had that type of success or failure, I think that you would be trying to contact the DPI. You would try to get the DPI in there. You would be trying to perhaps close the school because they were incapable of meeting the expectations for children and their educational outcomes. So that's one of the issues. Our school district spent almost $1.2 million from our local taxpayers for the voucher program this last year. So I, once again, you know, we're supposed to provide a high quality of education for every student, and it's just not happening with this voucher program. They have no accountability. They say on the website that they hope that you'll take the test, but if you don't want to, that's all you have to do is send them an email. So they're not even advocating for students to and families to take the test to see how accountable their educational system is in Milwaukee. They also have only 800 of their students actually attend in brick and mortar buildings in Milwaukee. So that means that there's, because they have about 3,700 students in their program, they did last year. And so that means that there's, you know, 2,900 students that are homeschooled, which that was not the intent of the voucher program. And they're not perhaps testing. They don't know if they're doing, the students are doing the work or if the parents are doing the work. They don't know if the students are taking the test or the parents are taking the test. And there's no accountability for these dollars. So I don't believe that that's our legislators' intent, but that's what's happening. It would be like the Viroqua Area School District saying, we're going to create a voucher school because we have brick and mortar, and we're going to include all of the Amish population, and we're not going to have licensed teachers. We're just going to let them teach, and we're going to let them follow their curriculum, whatever that might be. And then we're going to receive funding for it. And once again, I do not think that's the intent of our legislators, but that is something that could happen that would bring dollars to our school district without us really having to do anything at all. I mean, that's ludicrous. We're not going to do that. But those are the types of things that can happen because of how the voucher program is running. And then you spoke out about referendums. So we have passed two referendi in the last 4 or 5 years. One was brick and mortar. We added a very large technical education component to our school and updated the equipment, which was very much necessary, and then made some repairs that were needed. And that was a $20 million referendum. And we were very, very fortunate to have support of our community. But we did have a failed referendum, and that was operational. And then we had to go back to the community and ask for the dollars again. And that this time when we did pass, it was only for 2 years. So now we're going to have to go to a referendum again in another year to ask our community to assist in funding our school. This costs a lot of money. It's a huge amount of time and effort to explain why we need it. You know, our community, like I said, is very philanthropic. They support schools. But why are we going every 2 or 3 years to referendum? And a big part of it is the state budget. The state budget, you know, only lasts for 2 years. So we never know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. If they're going to take money away from us, if they're going to add a small amount, if it's going to meet inflation. So this has become a huge problem for trying to operate our school districts and prepare for the future. And there's also a bunch of inequity. I mean, I could go on and on forever with this, but it's creating more inequity for students because your poor communities are failing at a very large rate their referendum that they're trying to pass. And your wealthy school districts are passing their referendum. And so that's creating, like I said, a huge separation between the haves and the have-nots. And I believe in every child receiving a very high level of education, and I'm sure all your listeners do as well. But why is our state and all our tax dollars not going to the state, and then all of those dollars are being dispersed equally with every student versus having to go to a referendum and trying to pass something and spending, like I said, a very large amount of money, a very large amount of time and energy, and you don't know if it's going to pass or not.
No.
So how do you keep your teachers? How do you keep your programs? It doesn't make any sense.
No, there's such uncertainty as a result of the system. Angie Lawrence is the president of the school board in Viroqua, and we're talking about the many flaws in the system that were frankly only exacerbated by this new state budget. And for all the wisecracks about people talking about, you know, government schools and resources, well, imagine, you know, how much fewer the challenges would be if you weren't skimming nearly $1 billion a year off the top and taking that away and giving it to these schools that are not accountable, that are not nearly as transparent, that are doing things, like you said, where their students are opting out of standardized tests at an alarming rate and leading, therefore, to more referendums. The system, as much as we say there are problems with it, the fact of the matter is the basics are pretty easy to understand. Yes. We have a Wisconsin Constitution that says that, you know, education should be supported in as uniform a way as practicable. These are things that we can get back to those standards. There was a blue ribbon commission, yes, dedicated to fixing this system with Republicans and Democrats on it, and yet nothing has come of it since. So, Angie, this is just all to say, we can identify the flaws in the system. We can also fix the flaws in the system if we could get lawmakers that wanted to take your concerns seriously.
Well, it's not rocket science. Right. I mean, you're talking about deferring tax dollars, property tax dollars from different communities, having to raise those tax dollars versus the state saying, you know what, we're going to raise taxes and it's all going to go to schools. Not all of the dollars, obviously, but it's going to go to schools so that every child in the state of Wisconsin receives a high quality education. And taxpayers should be able to understand that because they're already paying more in property taxation by passing a referendum. I mean, and schools are fiscally responsible. It's not like we're spending needless dollars to educate our kids. And the budget is not meeting inflation. Our state is becoming funded at a lower rate than all of the others, not all the other states, but it's, I think we're 24th right now. Don't quote me on that, as far as state funding. So we can do way better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was once upon a time when Wisconsin was in or near a top 10 for, yeah, support of our public schools. Some politicians said that was too much. Well, now, as we're dropping to the middle of the pack and below, you wonder at what point they're going to say, OK, that's enough. We don't want to fall to the very bottom. Well, unfortunately, it seems like some politicians want exactly that as part of the ongoing push to privatization. And it's what we follow in this segment with good people like Angie Lawrence, who serves as president of the Viroqua School Board. Angie, I really appreciate your expertise and your service. Thank you so much for joining us today to share more of the background about it.
There's one more thing. You know, they say that they're funding students that have some type of a disability. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you look at how their formula works out, we're not receiving hardly any dollars for students with disabilities.
Exactly. More things to examine there. Yeah. Angie, thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be talking to Earl Ingram of the What's Going On with Earl Ingram podcast. That and more still ahead. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining us at 8:35. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew,
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date, your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected, your floor mats are cleaned and delivered, and your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with the Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's visit now with Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Koska. Very busy time of year here. We had been talking baseball. We're moving into football, basketball, and hockey are getting underway here as well. You got the Badgers, men who are starting their exhibition season, high school football playoffs. How do you even triage all this, Jimmy, when you're following it all?
One step at a time. I mean, football is kind of first and foremost. I got the basketball football hat on today because this is our all conference meeting today. It's our kind of our final duty now that we're eliminated. We're not in the playoffs. This is our final duty as football coaches for the 2025 season. And then we're on to the off season with that. But for the teams that are in the playoffs, 8-player playoffs began last Saturday. Went very largely chalk in that round, and then the 11-player playoffs begin this Friday. And that's the remaining 224 teams that are playing in 11 players. So this time of year is exciting. Last night was the start of volleyball, of course, and soccer. We have cross country sectionals this week. Tennis is already at state. Golf is already at state. So this time of year for high school alone is really busy. But as you said, there are also obviously there was the overlap. We had the Brewers in action as of last week. The Bucks got underway last night. You've got the Packers going, the Badgers. It is all happening right this second, right now in sports.
Let's start with something wildly speculative on the Brewers, and then we'll get to the concrete stuff that's actually happening. Brandon Woodruff, Is he coming? What are we going to have for starting pitchers coming back next year?
Please don't break my heart.
It's kind of the same. It's kind of the same thing every offseason, right? Like you look at it, you're like, well, we don't really know what we're going to come into next year with. And then there's going to be the offseason mover too, where you're wondering, okay, what just happened? What are the Brewers doing? And they show up in the spring and they've got a pitching staff and you can't name half the guys. That's what's going to happen again this year. They're going to keep doing what they've been doing because A, that's what they do. And B, they have to stay under a certain financial threshold that some teams, the Dodgers, what
I'm worried about. Yes. And that's what you're hearing is that, you know, Mark Adonasio and others need to open things up a little bit more, which look, I am not here to defend or apologize, you know, billionaires and multimillionaires and all that. I'm just trying to temper expectations when you're in the smallest market in the league.
Yeah, the Brewers' share of spending on the roster compared to revenue is among the lowest in Major League Baseball. It's in the bottom 10.
Okay.
But this is, you know, and you're right, it's a small market. There's not a big payout coming, if you will, from anything that happens in the market. So
no. So you either have to, bring that percentage up, which is a little bit less of a percentage for the ownership, but you know what brings in more revenue? Winning in the postseason and going deeper into it. So yeah, I mean, even Freddy Peralta, as I understand, they don't have to trade him this coming year, but there might be reasons to trade him early while you can get the most value. Especially a guy who you already know is going to reach 100 pitches, you know, by the sixth inning. So he's in no danger of ever having a complete game. So, you know, I don't know if his value is really that much more this year compared to next year.
You know, it's what they do with Corbin Burns, right? It's what they've done historically is try to max out their value, especially pitchers. They seem to find and develop pitchers like you wouldn't believe, and they've still got a strong farm system. So that'll be an interesting case to follow. I mean, if he goes, I think it just tracks with everything else the Brewers have done.
Which, by the way, not the same as Corbin Burnson, the actor. I learned that earlier today, the hard way. All right, you mentioned high school football playoffs, which I'm sure are still on one or two civic media stations heading into the postseason here.
Yeah, right now I think I've got 5 or 6 games scheduled this week across the network, and that's just Wisconsin teams. We just added a bunch of stations in the UP, and they do high school football as well, and that's exciting. We've got football on a number of signals around the state, and as you might imagine, you know, some of those stations are also doing some of the other sports. I think last night we had 2 soccer matches and then a volleyball match as well on the radio. So for civic media stations across the network, just check your local station. We've got the calendars right up on the front page of those websites.
That is awesome. All right, let's kind of speed through what we've got also on the civic media calendar. On Friday, you've got the Badger men's basketball team taking on Oklahoma. It's an exhibition game.
Coverage the easier begins of the two exhibition games, by the way.
Coverage begins at 6:30 Friday on several stations, and then Platteville the following week, and then the regular season begins. That's
yeah, they have Platteville on Wednesday next week, and Platteville just graduated a trio of 5-year seniors who contributed massive amounts to the program. Be a bit of a different look this year, but what is great about the Platteville Wisconsin game is they use that game too to fundraise for Guarding Against Cancer. Yes. So they do turn that into a fundraiser. Of course, Jeff Gard, the head coach at Platteville, and Greg Gard, the head coach at Wisconsin, are brothers from Mighty Cobb, Wisconsin. So there's a fundraising component to that as well.
Okay. And then we've got on Saturday, the Badger football team is at Oregon. Coverage begins at 4 p.m., kind of a later game there. Any bold predictions on how that one's going to go, Jimmy?
It'll be the last night game the Badgers get this year.
Okay.
That's it.
there's your prediction.
That's my prediction because we had a thread yesterday in our civic media sports group chat about just how much in pain we were. The Big Ten power rankings of the Badgers, 18th out of 18. It is sad times right now.
18th in the Big Ten. That
out of 18.
That hurts. And then of course, you've got the Packers Sunday against Pittsburgh. First time taking on Aaron Rodgers because we didn't play him when he was with the Jets at all. How do you think that's gonna go?
The Steelers uniforms are going to be dominating the conversation, I think.
Dude, they're so gross.
But, you know, I think what will be fun for people who follow the Packers is they're going to see a lot of Wisconsin ties in the Steelers between, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, but also TJ Watt, Keanu Benton. You're also going to see Nick Herbig. You're going to see a lot of familiar names on the Steelers roster. So I think that'll be kind of fun in a way for people who really get deep into the lore of Wisconsin football or even high school football in Wisconsin, I think that'll be kind of a fun treat for them.
Uh-huh. And then finally, the World Series is going to be Toronto versus the Dodgers. For Toronto, that includes Marshfield native Dalton Varsho. Are you going to be watching that?
Well, it's funny. It's hard to watch playoff sports on TV when you don't have like a satellite or over the air. So if it's not on an app, I'm probably not going to get it. But hey, I think they have it right. Toronto is America's team right now. So
Toronto is America's team. I like that. Oh, Canada. Jimmy Koska, thank you so much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Take care, man.
All right. Earl Ingram is standing by, and then Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well in the next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump said to be demanding $230 million from his Justice Department for the money that he spent on special counsel investigations, focusing on his first time in office, one related to alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election, the other investigation into the classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago. Drone and missile attacks over Ukraine, killing at least half a dozen people as a meeting that the White House said would be held between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin has been scrapped.
Just days ago, President Trump said he would be meeting face to face with Russian President Putin in the coming weeks, optimistic that they could finally negotiate an end to the war in Ukraine. But now Trump concedes that meeting is not likely to happen after Russia made clear they had no intention of striking a deal. The Kremlin saying, quote, you can't postpone what was not scheduled.
ABC's Mary Bruce. Now this is day 22 of the government shutdown. This is ABC News.